Welcome to Valley Voices. I'm your host, Amy Haddon Marsh, and my guest today is Regina Lopez White Skunk. She was born and raised in southwestern Colorado and is a member of the Ute Mountain Ute tribe in Toyoc, Colorado. She has been advocating for the land, air, water, and animals since she was a little girl. She's traveled extensively throughout the country, presenting and sharing the Ute culture through song, dance, and presentations. In October of 2013, she was elected to serve as a member of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribal Leadership. She is a former co-chair for the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. Regina Lopez White Skunk, thanks for joining me today and welcome back to Valley Voices.
Hi, it's a big honor.
You will be speaking this weekend in Paonia at the Inspired Art at Work event on Sunday. And the theme of the festival is Art at Work. What does that theme mean for you?
I have put in a lot of time and effort in the whole journey to designation for Bears Ears. And I have been so involved and intertwined in preserving and advocating for the land that actually means a lot to me, because in the conservation world, to be able to communicate and to continue this type of work, it is very, very important that we utilize different modes of communication. And I say this because I've always encouraged people to sing their songs, to write their poetry, write their thoughts from their heart, paint those pictures, and just speak to people about that. And letting art be that mode is such a natural place for Native Americans to express themselves, because so many times we are not so comfortable speaking English because many of us have our native tongues as our first
right.
language. So other ways that we can speak is by utilizing our art, our beadwork, our pottery making, basketry, things of that nature. And so I think that it's a beautiful theme. It says a lot, but it also helps us to do some of the work that is naturally implanted within ourselves.
You know, you ask the question, how can we allow our creative voice to exist like a wild thing? What does that mean?
One of my favorite places to go and recharge is in wide open spaces. One of the places I tend to gravitate to is in higher elevations in the mountains. And you know, I've had this strong connection to mountains since I've been very young. But historically and culturally speaking, Utes were people of the mountains. Those mountains are wild spaces. They're wild areas that my people utilized in ways for their daily existence. They also utilized it in ceremonial aspects, as well as many times being able to express themselves in ways that they couldn't maybe do it through words. And even in our native tongue, maybe there was an emotion that they couldn't get to express in a manner that they wanted to. And I think sometimes it's easier to paint the picture of the space, to envision things and express it through some beautiful colors on beadwork. You know, my grandmothers used to make baskets, the Ute baskets. And when I look at that and just knowing how to collect the material to make that, let alone have the patience, these things are grown out in the wild. They're not intentionally planted. And so part of all of this is encompassed in the harvesting of the materials to create beautiful things that express what is deep in our heart, whether it's maybe we lost a loved one, maybe we're celebrating the birth of a grandchild, whatever that may be. It's expressed through harvesting a lot of the materials used to create these wonderful pieces of art.
So what I'm hearing, Regina, is that the artistic ceremonial process for your people starts with gathering the materials.
One of the most important parts of this that a lot of people always kind of thoughtfully leave out is it's not so much the action, but it's also the idea that they present a prayer. They enter a spiritual space that helps to teach us how to be grateful for these pieces, the material, and even just to be grateful to have another day to walk on Mother Earth, to partake of all that she provides. There's that little spiritual space that people like to braze over because it's such a, and with understanding, whenever we talk about spirituality, sometimes that's also coined as a form of religion. And then it kind of becomes an uncomfortable place for many people to talk about.
Right.
But when Native Americans, Indigenous people speak of our existence, it's all one and the same. So it's all these different areas of being a full person encompasses our spirituality, our physical existence. You can't separate one from the other because one needs the other to exist.
Some of the things that you've written about artists make me think that an artist is not necessarily someone who hangs paintings in an art gallery. And based on what you just said, it sounds like anybody can be an artist. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think the world gets really tied to the definition of terms and identity. And, you know, I never really truthfully thought of myself as a writer. I always thought that just because I can sit with a notebook, a blank piece of paper, and a pen in hand and start writing my thoughts, that I could ever become someone who would have pieces published. And through the work and my dedication and passion to something that I believe in so wholeheartedly, to be able to be the voice for Mother Earth, I realized that I am an artist in my right. I can write. And how I choose to use my words, where those words go to, who reads them, who's gaining some of that information and knowledge for what I've put out there is something truly amazing. I never would have guessed that would have ever been me to become that person. And to find that flair and passion was something I stumbled upon and never really understood or even identified myself as someone who can write. But I'm also a person who can draw. I'm a person who can create beadwork. I can take raw material and create something from nothing. And that's something that our grandmothers have always taught us. You can sit there and do nothing with something, or you can sit there and do something with what appears to be nothing. And that's the true mentality of an artist, is being able to take raw material and creating beauty from their perspective.
You've also said that a mother can be an artist. A teacher can be an artist. People who aren't typically associated with the arts can be an artist. Talk about that.
Absolutely. You know, growing up and attending the public schools in Cortez, I had the wonderful honor of having some fabulous teachers. And one of my teachers, I could honestly say, she's the one who really showed us, the students in that class, that it didn't matter what you created, that even if it was together, you were all artists together. And I remember we braided a rug from just different pieces of material. We would bring material and But we created this huge rug that we laid on and read by the end of the year, you know, and here we were. What did we do? We created something from nothing. And she called us artists, and we thought we were the coolest kids in the school because we thought, hey, we're artists. We did something. And she used to play the piano. She was a musician. In her own right, she would play off of sheet music. But there were times when she would just sit there quietly, and she says, I'm just going to play what's in my heart. And she would just go to town on her piano and play whatever tune she thought she would hear. It's the same thing my father used to do, playing the flute, the cedar flute that my people play. He used to say, I sit here and I'm going to listen to the wind. I'm going to listen to the birds, listen to my surroundings. And that's what he would play, what he felt. This is my father. My father also is a painter. He's an artist. But we learned that just because one calls you an artist, just because you can paint with oil paint, is that the only type of artist?
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with the mentality that if you can take something, if you can create a beautiful picture with different colors of dirt and mud, if that's your masterpiece, then you are an artist. You can be an artist. Anybody can be an artist. With any material that is out there.
Where does the creative process start? I mean, how can a person connect to that creative process? Is that the same? I'm asking you three different questions. Is that the same, do you think, for Native Americans as it is for non-Native Americans?
I think it is. You know, it's in the very beginning, we are all the same. We breathe the same air. We require water to nurture our body. We need nourishment. We need food. We're all the same. So I don't think it's that we're different. It's the surroundings that we grow up in. And, you know, for many indigenous people, we have always become adaptive to our surroundings. The artwork people create today are not the same that was created generations ago, because a lot of times it just varied based upon what resources were available. So we might have seen a lot more baskets being made a few generations ago, but today we don't see nearly as much as we did. Plus, the necessity and use of that utility also has a lot to do with that, and the accessibility to the land. Which is one of the biggest passions for what I worked on for years, and I continue to advocate for, and that's continued access to our land for resources like that. And it's all tied together. Every one of us are an artist. It's just a matter of deciding, do I pick up a paintbrush? Do I pick up a chisel and a hammer? Do I sit down and pick a pen to paper? It's just a matter of taking that moment in time to capitalize on what is it that is burning inside of me. And sometimes we get caught up in this busy, busy world that we live in with technology and all these different things that make it easy to not use natural resources like the willows or the different colors of dirt in that stuff, that we tend to almost stifle our own creativity.
Exactly. I mean, I can understand that. It's like a lifestyle. You know, the fast-paced society doesn't leave a lot of space for creativity. And from what you're saying, it sounds like that the creative process has to involve a certain kind of lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I believe, too, that, you know, the parents, our parents, they have a lot to do with nurturing who we are and where we came from. And I have never really stopped to really think about things. But over the last couple of weeks, even through the last couple of months, an interesting event kind of happened here in my community. So we don't have cable TV anymore because of contracts and other technicalities. But we also have slower internet access. And it was initially, it was a big devastation to the community. I mean, even to myself. But, you know, because of that, in a strange way, our small community here has learned to utilize time, has learned to utilize space and things around us to the point where I almost feel like we're experiencing a sense of healing by taking some time out from some of that stuff. And so children and people are outside more. You see them doing things outside and, you know, having that space and that moment to think about or even just listen to your own heartbeat also helps to inspire some of us to create. And there's a sense of healing that has happened. I know for myself, I've gone through a couple of losses within my family. And, you know, being able to sit down and do some beadwork just because, you know, what else is there for me to do? But it's helped me to confront a little bit of my own grief and work past it. And through those moments of thought and inner self-reflection, at the end of the day, I may have created something that I didn't even know existed in me. But the art, the time, and hearing my own heartbeat and connecting back to that helps me to become that person again. And it's all healing. It's all within a healing process.
That's a wonderful story, Regina. So what I'm hearing is that it's like a happy accident. You know, you guys don't have cable and your internet has slowed down. So people are now beginning to be creative. They're starting to slow down themselves and engage with their family, engage with their neighbors, that sort of thing. It's just something that happened as a result of less TV and less internet.
Yes.
You're listening to Valley Voices. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. My guest today is Ute Mountain Ute tribal member Regina Lopez White Skunk. So when the cable network comes back to Toyoak and says, you know, do you guys want TV? What do you think will happen?
I don't think we'll refuse it. And I'm hoping and praying that some of the parents and the grandparents, the guardians of the younger people, reflect on this moment and see how the children could almost return to a time when we didn't have cable TV, when we didn't have the internet. There were very few phone lines coming into the community. You know, what did we do? And it's interesting because even as I have visited with friends and family here, you know, some of the interesting conversations come up about, remember when we were young, we would run up to the mountain and we'd be gone all day. And so there was almost a time that we were able to remember. And so there's these older stories of our childhood and our youth that we're taking to become storytellers, which is another form of art and which Native Americans are world-renowned for. We are great storytellers. And I was hearing more of these stories amongst the families that, you know, I'm like, I know we're going to get the internet back and cable TV, but what a wonderful thing to be going through right now, to hear people and families, you know, reflecting on some of their best memories as young people, as a kid, running, playing in mud, coming back dirty, being so exhausted from running out in the hills, in the sagebrush, you know, that is a blessing that I don't think anybody would have ever thought would come about. But the art of storytelling is another great area that sometimes we don't look at as a form of art, but it is.
I love that. That's a wonderful story. You know, we just have a few minutes left. Regina Lopez White Skunk, and I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation. And I want to shift to the weekend's event, if we could, just for a few minutes. This event is taking a look at socially engaged art, art that addresses environmental, cultural, social, economic, community issues. And you are going to be speaking about that. And I'm wondering, what do you want your audience to take away from your talk?
Well, what I really want people to take away is the simple fact that, we're all humans sharing the same space. Whatever that piece that you may be working on communicates, you know, I think the most elemental beauty of anything is a reminder to being human, to knowing that we do need one another, we need Mother Earth, we need the sky, we need the Creator, we need all the elements to exist. And I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the exploration and exploitation with the idea of creating economics for our community, creating energy for the world, that we forget that we are all just human beings trying to exist in a world that sometimes isn't so kind. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be cruel. We don't have to continue the abuse. But whatever that piece communicates, that it touches to that most basic element of life, and that's being human. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. We are all still human beings.
I feel like when I talk to you, I feel like I just sort of pick up where I left off with you. It's not like the beginning of a new conversation. It's a continuing conversation that I have with you. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I've had similar conversations with young people over the past couple of weeks, and they've all said, I get you, but I'm still questioning. That's the place I want people. I want you to understand, but I also want you to keep questioning things. Ask. Have that inquisitive mind to want to seek out more information. Have that mentality that you want to know more about your neighbor. I think that that's the connection sometimes that we get caught up in the busyness of our everyday lives that, you know, we don't have coffee with our neighbors anymore.
Well, Regina Lopez White Skunk, I want to thank you very much for your time and for this conversation. And I want to let people know that you will be speaking on Sunday in Paonia at the Paradise Theater. And we will link to information about you and your talk on our website. So thank you very much. You've been listening to Valley Voices. I've been speaking with Regina Lopez White Skunk, who will be in Paonia this weekend. She'll be speaking at the Paradise Theater on Sunday. Thanks for listening.